Eric Backage, Clemson head baseball coach, joins us. Good morning, Coach Backage. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Mickey. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I cast my lot with you yesterday. I listened to your post game. And by the way, we're not privy to what you say to your team, but I do like the idea that the positive aspect you took and the idea that you know this team's going to bust out at some point in time. And you might be wrong, but I'd rather be wrong on the positive side. Tell us about your thoughts in that press conference and why the positivity, because and what you know about this team and the genuine maybe talk you had to the media on Sunday after losing the series.
Yeah, I see them every day. I'm around them every day and have been around them since August and know what they're all about and know that we've trained for this adversity and it's lasted longer than everybody wants it to, and same with us. But you got to get up off the mat. And the way these guys go about it since August, in every single category of their life and everything they do, whether it's school or community or the way they've trained and prepared, you know, the hay is in the barn. And it's these guys are ready for to get up. And we're in a great spot right now because I feel like we are against the ropes, backed in a corner. And when you're backed into a corner, there's only one thing to do, and that's fight. And you got to come out swinging. So I think that gives us a little bit of that mental freedom. We've been holding on too tight. Everyone's seen it. We've been pressing. We've been, you know, just squeezing it and clenched up too much. And I think now that we're backed into the corner, I can't wait to watch how these guys respond.
I love that idea. There were times this weekend, I remember I was saying to my buddy, I think it was, my memory fails me at my advanced age, coach, I think it was the bottom of the fourth on Friday night, the sixth run inning, there was so much traffic on the base and moving around, and I said, man, that right there, like, that looks like Clemson baseball to me. And then on Sunday, you get off with the six runs in the bottom of the first. And I said it again. I think I'm right saying it. I said it again. Like, man, that looks like Clemson baseball. So the point is, like, there are signs out there, but there's other signs like that doesn't look like Clemson baseball to me. Is that you witness the same thing? Like, sometimes as a father, we do it with our kids, or sometimes I know you do it as a coach with the team. Like, that's not us. Like, that doesn't look like who we are. Does that make sense?
Of course, yeah. No, absolutely. And everything is magnified of just this, you know, as the conference races wind down and everything is magnified because everyone wants to be playing their best this time of the year. And so any loss is just, you know, scrutinized even more. But, yeah, when we're not holding a 6-1 lead in the game, that's not us. And when we're not getting runners in with runners in scoring position, that's certainly not us, especially when those are things we've done really well all season. So, yeah, I totally get it. And, you know, in our sport, it's there's some ebbs and flows and ups and downs and peaks and valleys. And, you know, sometimes the crap hits the fan. And it's just what are you going to do next? And so, you know, for us, yeah, we're going through it, fighting it right now. But we're also going to keep fighting. We're going to keep swinging. And because of the group, because of the players, the leaders, the guys in the room, that gives me a lot of optimism that we're getting through and we're coming out, and we're coming out right now.
The other part of it, this is hard for fans to do. Coaches do it all the time in post-game press conferences. It's hard for fans to do. You give the opponent a little credit. That's a pretty good ball club you faced over the weekend. And I've never seen that many left-handers in my life, man. They just kept throwing lefty after lefty, keep bringing these guys in. But what were your thoughts on Duke compared to what you've seen up and down the conference so far this season?
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly one of the teams that I would put in the upper echelon of this conference. You know, and they're well coached. They've been a very good, consistent program over the years, and they have good players. A lot of left-handed hitters in their lineup and a lot of left-handed pitchers in their bullpen, and they've got good stuff. And they played well, and some of their better players had really good weekends and hit the long ball. But they're definitely in that upper, you know, that upper group. And it just so happens that, you know, that's like the last three weekends have been, you know, three of the top five teams in the standings. And it just happened to come at a time where we just haven't been playing our best. So it wasn't a good combination of playing better teams in the conference and us hit a dip at the wrong time.
I had a long show yesterday, 3 hours. It was all Clemson baseball, and some fans were upset. Some were very positive. You know this. You know how fans are. You're a fan of teams, you know, yourself growing up through all the years, all this stuff. One of the things I said about this team is, and this is an old Herb Brooks item, quote from the movie Miracle, the 1980 Olympic hockey team, you aren't talented enough to win on talent alone. But at the same time, like, this team was as talented enough to win the 30-some-odd games they won and finished number or be number two in the country 3 or 4 weeks ago. But the point was that the reason they were you guys were number two then is like it was execution. It was two outs, hitting. It was 3-2 counts. You're winning those. Runners in scoring position doing all that. And the reason that you're not doing now, besides the schedule did beef up, was just the execution part of it. Am I right about that? This is the same team, but this team has not executed at key times, two outs, the key double play, the key ground ball, or the key fly ball when you needed it. The two-out, the two-strike pitch, winning the 3-2 battles. The little things you were doing earlier, is that a fair assessment? You're not doing those things now? Is that pretty fair?
That's fair, yeah. We say all the time, and you know, talk to our guys, because we have what we call game goals, and we strive to meet a certain amount of game goals, which we feel like puts us in a position to win the game. But we talk to all the time about most games aren't won, they're lost. And we have been a really good team for these first 10, 11 weeks of the season of just not beating ourselves and just being consistently good and then capitalizing on the other team's mistakes. And then we've hit a stretch here for a few weeks where we have not executed well. We've been more the team that has found a way to beat ourselves, and the other team is capitalizing on our mistakes. So, you know, to think that we're going to just go wire to wire is probably, you know, insanity. Nobody does that. Nobody goes wire to wire in baseball. But at the same time, you know, it's lasted a you know, a bit longer than everybody's appetite is able to digest. So we get it. We know it. We hear it. We know that people are grumbling, and you know, it's about one millionth of, you know, how our guys feel. So they just got to zoom back in and get, you know, just lock in, lean on each other, do it for each other, and get back to just playing mentally free and playing that winning style of baseball that everybody knows and recognizes when they see it, like what you said when you saw it this few innings over the weekend.
It looked like Clemson baseball during this point in time. You know, one of the things, I was having a conversation with some fans Saturday about Friday's game, and Lucas Mostead was like, to me, the epitome of it. We had a text yesterday that Lucas, have we overused him? I'm like, no, Lucas made great pitches, and there was a swinging bunt in there, and there's a CNI thing in there, and then there's the two balls went down the line, were barely in. It was like a snake bit kind of a thing. Did you like what you saw from Lucas pitch-wise? Like, was he making good pitches, and then the ball's kind of finding little spots on the win on Friday?
Yeah, I think that summarizes it really well. It was a blooper. It was an error. And maybe an infield single. That was some of the damage. So yeah, he actually made really good pitches. I thought Duke has a heavy left-handed lineup like Florida State did as well, but I thought Lucas did a good job of adjusting to the left-handed lineup for this, you know, where Florida State had a really good approach against him and executed their approach against him, and just, you know, all they tried to do is just hunt the opposite side of the field, and if they got something, you know, in, then they were able to turn on it. But they did a really good job going backside, and I thought Lucas changing his slot, going up top when he needed to, throwing the change up to lefties, you know, doing what he needed to do. You know, it's not like he got smashed around the park. I think they hit a one ball hard for a double, but I really liked what I saw to Lucas, and he's our horse, and he's going to be out there when the game's on the line at the end. It just, you know, did obviously the Florida State series was tough, but, you know, he made good pitches on Friday against Duke, that's for sure.
The other horse you've ridden so hard, and rightfully so, is Reed Garris, and boy, I felt bad for him. I knew, because I've had it, you probably had it as well, man. When he locked up, you saw that back spasm, you can see it in his face, and gingerly off the mound. But that might be good news, because back spasms are something that you can't come back from. I'm glad it wasn't maybe anything else. And you mentioned afterwards, because we could talk about that, because I didn't want to say anything until you said something in the press conference, but back spasms, the latest with Reed, and maybe the thoughts on him moving forward?
Yeah, he'll be back. He'll be back. How soon? You know, he's still coming back from that. You know, he may or may not be able to pitch this weekend. I mean, it's still got a couple of days, but you know, probably in the category of possible, not probable. But you know, I think for us, we don't want to rush him this weekend and then lose him for the ACC tournament and in the postseason. So I think if anything, we'll make sure that, you know, he's as close to 100% before he pitches again.
Other health of other guys. I know. Well, first let me ask you about Darden, because Darden, you had to, how'd that whole situation work out where you got to pick who was ejected from the game? Has that happened before? Does that happen often? What were the thoughts there with Ejection Friday?
That was pretty funny. Linus Baker's a great umpire, and thankfully he didn't toss out the whole team on that ejection, because he probably had the right to, since everyone was at home plate. But no, Darden was the first one to home plate. Darden stepped on home plate, more stomped on home plate. So, you know, Darden's a hyper-competitive dude, as everyone knows. And so love his energy, love his passion, but that's taking it a little too far. And so Linus, it wasn't more of, hey, pick who gets ejected. It was, you know, who was that just stomped on home plate. And just fortunately for us, it was the guy who isn't pitching this weekend anyway. So that's how that went. It was just more clarifying that was number 39 who stomped on home plate and not a guy that's in the, you know, not number 10.
Well, look, I thought the way the media portrayed it was, the way the story came out, is you got to pick. I was like, it was brilliant to pick the guy who has a brace on his arm, is not going to pitch this weekend. That'd be the best coaching move you've ever made, you know, coming up.
Well, there was a little bit of that. It was, but yeah, I don't know if he saw who stomped on home plate, but, you know, it was just making sure that he knew Yeah, so it was maybe a little bit of both.
But had it been Cam, we could have said it was Darden then, because Cam was still going to play.
Yeah, number okay. 10 stomped on the plate, we would have said it was 39 for sure.
Great stuff. Hey, tell me about the Pittsburgh Panthers, a trip up Thursday, Friday, Saturday up there. Too early for me to think about weather, but thoughts on their program and some of the things you'll see this weekend.
Yeah, they've played everybody tough, and it's one of those – weekends where it really doesn't matter if we're playing the Pittsburgh Panthers or the Pittsburgh Pirates. The target this weekend is strictly on how we play, because when we play well, we win. And when any team plays poorly, they lose, because college baseball, everybody's good now. Everyone's got good players. Everyone's older. Everyone's got, you know, hard throwers and good hitters. And it's just the state of the game. So, you know, we're going up with the target on laser focus on winning pitches, playing well, executing well, playing hard, competing hard, out competing our opponent, and just getting back to be playing mentally free and with that smile on our face and doing the things we do when we're at our best.
And a full week together too. I know it's a Thursday deal, but you talked about it before, how like now it's just baseball for these guys. Do you, from a staff standpoint, do you like that idea that this is now that school is done for the semester, that whatever you can do, whatever team bonding, whatever mental or physical things have been done, it's done maybe a little more time? Does that help a little bit from your mind, from the coaching staff's mind?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a good thing. We're certainly cognizant of that and just want to create as many opportunities that, you know, we can reinforce that, you know, the best teams are often very close and hang out off the field. And so this definitely gives them, this time of year gives them that time to, you know, to strengthen those friendships and relationships, because ultimately though, they're going to have to lean on that out there competing for one another. And, so I think this time of the year lends for that, and that's where we've talked about the circle just needs to continue to get tighter, and especially when you face adversity and you're taking punches, you know, that's where you really got to band together and, you know, can't start pointing fingers, but just got to tighten the circle and get stronger together.
All right, Coach, this is a weird one for you, and you don't dodge any question. You've been a head coach. How many years? What years is this for you being a head coach?
This is since 2010.
Okay, so 15, 16 years now. on average through the years, and every team is different and leadership's different, how to respond is different. But on average, how many times do you, Eric Backich, would you say through your career, on average, pretty, do you just jump them, man? Like they just get the riot act read to them. Does it happen once, twice? Can you do it too many times? Not enough times? Is that a 3 or 4, 10-time thing a year?
It happens. It happens. Happens a lot in training, especially. You know, that's where probably, you know, really coach the, you know, just because that's the time where, man, we have to, the preparation and training has to be like dialed in, and the effort and all the things, right? There can never be a lack of things we can control in our training sessions. The games are more, you know, that's, and this has been a philosophical shift, probably, you know, first half of being a head coach, the second half of being a head coach. You know, if you're jumping the guys and reading them the riot act when something bad happens in a game, that only makes the coach feel better. It doesn't help the players play better. And so, you know, not that we don't coach them hard in the games, of course we do. But you know, reading them the riot act, that would be more like post game. If there's a, you know, if there's just a things that, especially for things like that, we at this level, if we're coaching attitude and effort, then we got a problem. Then yeah, I'm gonna blow a gasket. But that hasn't been the case since these last few years. We have had, you know, incredible kids that, you know, they know how important Clemson baseball is to so many people, and you know, there just hasn't been issues with attitude and effort, and those would be the reasons to, you know, to really blow a gasket in the game.
That's
in
what
the game.
John Wooden was that way. He said, "I prepare you before the game, but I don't call." He didn't call timeouts when another team went on a 10-0 run. He would never call timeout. He goes, "You got yourself into this. Get you out of it. I did my job by preparing you." It's good stuff. Hey, Coach. Safe travels to Pittsburgh. Let's visit next week. Let's talk ACC baseball tournament. And great luck up there. And let's finish the regular season off the right way.
Let's do it. I'm in. Go Tigers. Thanks, Mickey.
Eric Backich, Clemson baseball coach. Short